This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. We are super excited to be back with you for our next season, season four, and it is called Resetting Our Beliefs. And before we get going into this particular season and this episode, share with me any feedback you've received from folks related to the podcast, if anybody has shared with you insights that they've gotten. I know for me, I've had a couple of friends listen to it and say, wow, you helped them see things in a way that they had not considered it before. You kind of had a different view of, you know, what it is to change and to challenge yourself. And they've asked me for, like, some of the steps that you had outlined in a previous season on how to change and how to approach that. So didn't know if you'd had that kind of feedback.
Yeah, I think I've had some feedback. I've had a lot of feedback. I think we talked about, especially the biggest feedback I think I had was Joyce Hall's son who called me and who had never really, you know, heard his mom's complete story, but knew that she had a story and how he really thanked me personally for helping his mother navigate out of the destructive behaviors and patterns that she was in, and how because she wasn't there for him, he had to really learn how to forgive her, and they got a good relationship. He even then sent me a whole big writing that he was doing, which he then offered up to say, if you ever want to do a podcast about how our parents' decisions affect children, he would love to be on that podcast. I think that was one of the most enlightening, which gave me a whole different, you know, idea. And then, of course, I have sister friends that listen to it, and they are saying the wisdom that you communicate and how you do it, they are just saying, I see you at such a different level in life, and or you're talking about something and the way that you're saying it is giving me a different perspective to look at it as well as your friends. And so it's just been different, you know, different ones. And I think this last time having the interviews was good when we were dealing with revolutionizing recovery. So I think that giving people opportunities and a platform to share their stories, because I always say to share your stories to be naked and unashamed. One of the things that someone brought up to me when we were having lunch meeting this week is that the one thing they said that they admire about me is that nobody can hold my story against me because I tell it myself. And I think so often we have to learn how to tell our story and not be ashamed of it. And most of us live in such shame and guilt about the story. And it's really the feelings about the story. It's really not the facts. It's what our, again, walking into what we're getting ready to talk about is what we believe. And so I think that the enemy or life doesn't change its approach to get us off of our kilter. They use the same soup, just a different bowl.
That's good.
And so fear and shame and guilt are usually the three weapons that is used against us. And then it keeps us in patterns of destruction for such a long time.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And it just makes me think of that secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. And when you have things in your past that you're trying so hard to keep secret, that is a weapon against you for sure. So when you're vulnerable and you're open and you say, yeah, this is how it was, and this is the thing, these are the things that I've went through, yeah, it disarms them, takes all the power out of them.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'm just grateful. I loved what Kurt said in his testimony and in his podcast when he said, in the end, we should be image bearers of Christ.
Yeah.
And we should be transformational warriors for the kingdom. And I just thought that was so impactful for me.
Yeah.
Because that is really I don't care what you believe. I know what I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I believe that the Father gave up His Son to make the ultimate sacrifice so we could have life in that more abundantly. And then He left us a guidance and a convicting and a changer through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through our fellowship with one another. And so I just know that the world, you know, so many people over this almost 9 billion people in the world now, the numbers went up. It used to be 7, but now they're saying it's by 8.7 billion people in the world, have all kind of different beliefs. And so I just kind of want to dab into resetting our beliefs, because I don't believe my belief systems don't have to be your belief systems, and they don't have to be your beliefs. They just don't. And I don't have to change my beliefs just to engage and dialogue with you. I don't have to debate you. I'm not trying to convince you that your way is right and my way is right and your way is wrong and my way is wrong. It's not about that. I think that when we can get to a confident place to know what you believe on your own, there is no need to debate with anyone. You can respect someone else's belief systems or belief dialogue, whether or not they align with you. Now, there's certain things that I will not align myself with, but I can still come to the table and be open to hearing what it is you have to say.
Yeah, I'm showing respect, even if you are not of the same belief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I just know for me, I just kind of want to dig into this resetting our beliefs more about where, you know, what have you been believing is the question I really want to ask myself, and I've been asking, and the listeners and you and whoever else. But it's really more about how did you get there? So it's what have you been believing, but then how did you get there? And what are some of the things that have influenced you to get there? And did they really come from you, or did they come from somewhere else? And what does it all really mean? And, you know, the one word that I'm really going to expound on in this session is about a regenerated mindset, you know, and what does that mean? The etymology of a word has really been really digging for me, looking at where it come from, you know, who told me that? And when you look at the alphabets and how many alphabets it is, and how do you take those alphabets and connect them to create a word? And then who said that word is that word? And how did they enunciate that? And how did they pronounce it? And who told you? Was it the education system? Did you dig deep to find out if that's really the history of it? And those kind of things, beginning to be more curious about life instead of just letting people tell you what they believe. And then you latch on, even whether it's pastors or preachers, the reason that I believe we should take our Bibles to church is because we should be able to look in that Bible and see what that person is saying up on that stage. It's connecting because that person is human as well, just like I am. And so I'm going to sift through anything I tell you. It's going to come through a lot of different perspectives, emotions, experiences. So I'm going to tell it to you the way that I interpret it. And so don't just take my word for it. Go search it out.
Right.
And that's what I've learned to do in the last 5 years of my life, is just, why do I believe the way that I believe? Where did it come from? Who said that was true? And how did I get there?
I think questioning is so vital in growth, because until you're brave enough to question everything, and even in your walk with God, like I've had some of my biggest growth jumps when I've just really questioned what I thought I believed about God. But you have just these huge leaps when you say, well, okay, I was told this and I believed this, but where did that really come from? like digging in and not being afraid instead of looking at everything with such absolutes. I think sometimes, like, there's some truths in the Bible, of course, that are absolute, but just things that in your life, if you take them as an absolute and you never question them, even though they may actually be an absolute, do you know what I mean? But being brave enough to look at it.
Let's go back to the Bible, though, part you said about. You said some things in the Bible is absolute.
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Oh, like Jesus is the only way.
Okay.
Like he is. A friend of mine one time, we were having a talk, and I just said, okay, you may interpret this part of the Bible differently than I interpret that. Okay, so you're looking at it differently. But you can't interpret that Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't interpret that any other way.
Exactly.
So that's an absolute truth for me. That's what I mean there. And I told her, I said, there are things for me that they don't change. They're absolute. And like, I'm not going to back down from that for me is unchanging. But there are other truths in the Bible that I know people look at differently and they'll say, well, I take the still small voice to mean that's how God speaks. And then I've heard other people say, well, still small voice could be the gentleness in which God spoke to a very depressed Elijah. So, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think the still small voice comes from inside of you, and it speaks to you about you. And I will always say this, and it will tell you about things you will never tell yourself.
Well, right.
That's what I say. I say, you know, I measure the still small voice in the whisper because of the gentleness and mercies of God. Mm. And so because of his love for us and through the Holy Spirit, he speaks through the wind and the rain, and he speaks through the circumstances of life, and it's still a voice. It's just, how do you hear it? And what does it mean to you?
Yeah.
And so learning that for me, I've been, you know, on this journey. I was sharing with someone that I had an interview with for possibly some employment here with us on this week. And I said, I've learned that our eyes are not open immediately. They are gradually open. Mm. And if you go back to when a child is born and he comes out of his mother's womb, whether it's a girl or boy, is what I meant to say. The one thing that happens is when that child comes out, the eyes are closed. Because it's been in water so long, right? Mm. And so when it comes out, the baby doesn't open its eyes immediately. It has to be washed and salted and, you know, and soothed, and then things put in the eyes, wash the eyes to get the cleanness out. And then the baby begins to gradually open his eyes. And then even with life, that's the same thing. It's a gradual process. When I remember people who have had surgery and they take the bandage off, it's a gradual process. And so I think we look for beliefs to be so concrete that we're not willing to be open to them gradually changing. So there's a gradual change that happens. It doesn't happen all at once. It's what you may have believed 10 years ago. If you're open to change, if you're open to be regenerated, if you're open to a mind transformation, being born again, if you're open to that, the way you see things today might not been the way you saw them 10 years ago. And being willing to say, wow, how did I see this then versus now? And what you realize is that your mind has gradually opened to different levels of sight. Because sight is just not in the eyes. It's in the mind.
Yeah.
When people say be open-minded, that really is real. You have to, my mother used to say a closed mouth can't get fed. Well, I feel like a closed mind can't get led. So if your mind is closed, I can't lead you nowhere anyway.
Right.
Because you're closed off to it. So just like if you don't open your mouth and put the food in, you can't eat. It's the same thing. And so we just have to learn how to gradually be open at once, because I know over the 30 years I've been on this journey, next, you know, in matter of fact, this year in August, another month from now, a month from today. And I'm just realizing that in this 30 years of on this journey from discovering to recovery to belief systems to looking at the person in the mirror to breaking the cycle of self-abuse and learning how to love myself, I am not the person I was when in 1991 that I am in 2021. I may still look the same in the natural in some ways. I may have gained some pounds, lost some pounds, may have let my hair grow, it might have been short. It's not even those things that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that are internal that you can't see. Mm. Those are the things that matter to me. The internal, because my internal will decide my external and how I will live the life that I believe that is good for me. And I can't put my beliefs on you. I can just share what my beliefs are, and then you can choose to take from what I give you based on my beliefs, and then look at my life, and maybe it's the life that you see me living that you wonder how I get what I got and get where I'm going. And then I can say to you, it's because it's I believe. The Bible says, unless you believe, it's impossible to please God. So what are you believing becomes the question.
Yeah.
And why do you believe that? And where did that come from? And how did you get there? And who told you that? It's almost like in the Garden of Eden, when God walked in the cool of the day and asked Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I'm naked. He said, who told you that? And he said, it's the woman you gave me. We ate of the tree. And then God began to proclaim the curses on each person for disobedience. That's why I said the enemy life, and the enemy has not came up with new tricks. He's still doing the same old thing. You know, what did God say to you? What do you believe? That's exactly what he was saying to them. What do you believe? And then he said, when you eat of this tree, you're going to be like him. Well, guess what? They were already like him. So they didn't believe that they were. They believed that God was holding something back from them.
Yeah.
How often do we believe that something is being held from us? And so we go after what we don't have and what we don't need because we believe what we already possess isn't good enough. That's just a belief. So we get lured into stuff based on our openness to things that may not be as healthy or we can handle. Not everything you can handle at once, just like a child. I'm not going to give my 10-year-old grandson my car keys and tell him to drive. He can't handle that responsibility. So we have to be mindful on, and then we have to do it even with our own lives. And a lot of us don't know how to do that. We don't know how to be a good steward over our own selves. We're in a season right now in July of the 9th, 2021 in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we are having so many violent killings. And so you wonder, where is that coming from? What is the atmosphere? Why is that happening now? And it's been happening, but it's a light is shined on because, again, you know, it's just things that happen. The pandemic is not taking charge of everything now. So it's almost like layers of curtains. And so we present the pandemic, and that's all we hear about for a whole year or 15 months. The killings was going on then. But now, because we're not in the pandemic and we're not hearing about the COVID, you know, this and the COVID that and how many people are dying from COVID, we're not hearing about the coronavirus right now as much. We're focusing on what was already there. It was already there.
It just wasn't reported. Yeah, yeah.
But guess what happens when that happens? People get fearful. And they act as though something is happening different when in reality, it was already happening. So then we start getting fearful, like, oh, I don't want to go nowhere. I want to do this. And oh my God, you know.
Because things have gotten so bad. Right. And they were already still bad. Right.
We live in the fallen world. It's already bad.
Yeah.
And so we have to realize that how you believe and what your belief systems are and how did you get there, that matters. Mm. What are you telling yourself?
Yeah. How do you talk to yourself?
How do you talk to you? And that's what I'm saying. So it's like when you look at read, that means going back to the original. R-E is the Latin word. It means to go back to the original. So we've got to go back to read. What is the original intent of your life individually, corporately, community? What was the original intent? And then how do you discover that? How do you investigate that? How do you get there? What does that mean to you? Because what it means to me may not mean the same thing to you. But then how did you get to what yours is? And why is that important to you? What was the original intent? I think one time on the podcast, I talked about the woman who had the ham and she was cutting it off. And until you go back to where it came from, the original intent, when the grandmother just didn't have a pot big enough to put the whole ham in.
Yeah. So they were wasting the ends of the ham?
Exactly.
Because they thought that's the way you do it.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be as good.
It wouldn't be as good. Because my grandmother's was good and my mother's was good. But nobody except the husband decided to go back and ask, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Because I think we've lost the wonder of curiosity. Because so many of us think we know. That's why I believe a lot of violence is happening. Because no one's validated the young people, or they believe so much in what they're doing, the way they're doing it is the right way. So they're handling their own choices in the streets of violence. Mm. Where, you know, it's okay to have a disagreement, but do I not value your life? But of course I don't value your life. If I don't value mine, if I don't care about you killing me, I definitely will kill you. Because I'm already killing me by my choices, my beliefs, the way I behave, my outcomes. And I can say that because I killed me in a different kind of way for a long time.
Yeah.
I killed other people's dreams based on my choices. So we all have to look at how do we get back to the original? How do I get back there? What does that mean for me to get back to the original state of my mind, my thinking, my belief system, my emotions, how I live, what I say, how I say it, what I see, what I don't see? Why did I see it that way? What did that really mean? All of those questions come into how we decipher through and sift out, why do I believe that way? Why do I jump to conclusion immediately when I see something without even being curious enough to maybe give it the benefit of the doubt? Why do I already judge it, criticize it, and wrap it up in a gift box and present it to the world as though it is the gift of the world? I'm like, why do I do that?
Yeah, I think you have to be willing to say, first, I may be wrong. And some people are so scared to admit that they might be wrong. I mean, there are people that will fight over something so small because for them to be wrong is to be flawed or not have value. And I think everything kind of boils down to value. And for me, I was one of those very black and white, long time ago, black and white thinkers. And if I wasn't right, I felt diminished. And so I'd fight you tooth and nail to, you know, get to, you know, the truth that make you understand that my way was right. Even down to like folding towels of all weird things.
Or like, how the toilet paper should go on the roll.
Right, right. Now, those are really like funny examples, but a lot changed for me when I said, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Like to be able to say, even in something that I was willing to argue to like the death, not literally, but you know what I mean, mm-hmm. that I was right, to be able to say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Or to be able to say to someone, I'll consider what you're saying and mean it, not just say it to placate them, but to mean it. Then it was like, whoa, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not right here.
And maybe it's not even about right or wrong. Maybe it's just about different.
Well, there are those, yeah, examples where it can't be different. Yeah.
If folding the towel your way doesn't make it right,
right,
it's just different.
Right.
My putting the toilet paper on facing me versus facing the other way don't make mine right. It just makes it different. It makes it, that's what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so everybody, you know, and I think that's where the fight gets in, not only just for each other, for our own internal psyche, that we begin to dictate to ourselves about who we are based on being right or wrong.
Yeah.
And so then that's a whole nother dynamic of emotions and intellect and validation and all those things that create you to not really even question where it came from as much as it, how does it affect me? So I believe, see, one of my beliefs is that my selfishness, I can only speak for me, creates more of my chaos than anything. My selfishness, my inability to consider a different way, that I have to absolutely, it has to be about me. And that's what, you know, when I look at Adam and Eve, that's, it became about them and not about, and that's what God, he wanted us, and he still does, the free will of choice. And I think that so often we as a people, and I call us the humans, we as the humans create this barrier and bias and prejudice and those kind of things because our need, this very deep need to be more important than someone else. Mm. Because we could have the best life, the greatest parents. You know, we talk about trauma response and who, how we experience life. And some people feel like that, you know, they, the degrees of trauma. I think we all experience trauma. We just do it at different levels. I believe that the traumatic experiences that each of us have, it depends on how compound they are to determine how closed off you are. Hmm. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe you layer them on long enough, it's almost like the real original you is piled up in the trauma. And so before you can really get back to the original state of your being, you've got to lift that off of you by any means necessary because you don't have a good perspective on what you believe and what you know or what you think you know or what you feel until you can get the pain of the experiences off of you in order to be able to then just sit up in the chair and see yourself from a different perspective. If I'm always cramped down, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. She could have just stayed in her current state. She chose. I heard that Jesus was coming through town. She crawled to go after what she needed because she had tried everything else. And so her belief was that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It was her belief that made her climb out of that bed and crawl through the streets and probably have people stepping on her hands and all over her as they were following. But she was willing to be determined. She didn't have to get in front of him. She didn't have to see him eye to eye. I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment because that's what I believe. If I do it, my life will ever be changed. That was a belief that pushed her past her comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like she believed even in just the minimum, like just the hem, the tiniest little part. If I can just get that much of him, she believed it would change her, and it did.
And that's what we have to do in our communities, in our own lives, in our families. We got to say, if I just be willing to give up a little selfishness, maybe I can see life different.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be about me.
It doesn't have to be about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing, believing that it doesn't have to be about you. that it can be about somebody else. And maybe I won't pull a gun out and shoot somebody. Because you know what? It's more about them and everything that they represent.
It goes to the verse of consider others
higher than yourself.
Right. And that's not saying to put yourself down, to think badly of yourself. It just means put them before you.
And it also means when it says love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, then love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
You could not love me if you don't love God and you don't love you.
Right, yeah.
I watch how you treat you and determine how you'll treat me. If I see you making irrational decisions for your life, indecisiveness, inconsistency, procrastination, why would I expect that you're going to show up for me any different? No, you're going to show up for me the same way you show up for you. That's my belief system. Why do I believe that? Because that's what you show me about yourself. You gotta like you more than you like me. But even though I know that people will try to impress me to make me believe they're somebody they're not, I see through that.
You watch.
I watch.
Yeah.
And I see.
Yeah.
And I see when you don't see, I'm seeing. And then I see how you live in your life. So when you come to me and you go all the way out and trying to make impress me, I'm looking at you and say, I would rather you impress you. Not in an unhealthy way, but in a way that's going to be conducive to your well-being in life.
Yeah.
So we all can benefit from that. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
And so when you say read, then you put gen in there, it's G-E-E. G-E-N-E is like a gene, so it's regene. And when you talk about genes in your life, you're talking about giving birth to something. That's, you know, we're genetic genes that are in us. You know, it's about birthing different things in our lives. And so you've got to be willing to go through a whole transformation of rebirthing in order to let go of something you once believed that no longer really is able to support you in where you're going. And that takes courage to want to do a new birth. But before you can do a new birth, you have to let go of that which you've already birthed in order to make space for the new gene in your life.
Yeah.
The new belief system, the new way it's going to be grafted in not just your mind and your words and your behaviors, but also in your heart. It's like a cancer cell is a gene. It's a gene. And so they flow, the cells in our bodies, our blood cells, and they flow in a certain way. And so if one cell decides to go another way, it's like a fish going against the current. So it goes another way. And then if it's not careful, it begins to pull other cells towards it. And then it forms a tumor. And so something over here is being birthed that's abnormal and obstruct. It's an obstruction to our bodies. And then if we don't go get the right scan, it can live in your body and be killing off other cells and genetic genes in you, and you don't even know it. Because cancer is such a silent killer. And so it's the same thing with how we believe. It can be killing us just the way we believe. And you ask somebody, well, why do you believe that? When we talk about people being prejudiced or biased, and you know, and people hate people and all of those kind of, you ask them why, and it's like, well, because my mama did, and my daddy did, and my sister did, and my uncle did, and my grandfather did. And it's like, but did you ask them ever why they did that? Or why they felt that way? Or where did that come from? Or did that person do something to them to make them feel that way? But it comes from generation to generation to generation, and it just keeps coming down the bloodline of our not being willing to be curious enough or to just stop it and look at it. That's why I believe that we're in such a racial divide now and have been for years, you know, whether the white person or the black person or, you know what I'm saying, the Indian, you know, because, again, it's selfishness. And we know that people wanted to own people so they could feel like the superior race. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't consider other people, especially African Americans, they didn't even consider them human. So I'm just saying, so all of that comes from a place, a deep place of beliefs. And now to try, even now as we have all the information and have all the diversity classes and have all of that, you can do all of that. But until you dig deep into a person's core belief systems, all that is information. It's almost like you have to go and do a surgery and cut out a tumor of belief, like cancer, and almost put some radiation on it and some chemo.
Right.
To kill the gene of that rooted thing that came out, that comes out of us. Because I'm not excluded. And I feel like that's what I've been through in my life and my journey, is that I've had to be cut some tumors out of my life, my perspectives. And then I had to then I got some radiation, you know what I mean? And what, you know, everybody's got a different kind of radiation. Some of mine was counseling. Some of it was mentorship. Some of it was, you know, learning to forgive. So radiation can come in different ways. Chemo can come in different ways of your life. You got to find what you plug into yourself so you can get well, so you can live healthy, because health is the new wealth. It's not money.
Right, because you could have a ton of money and be super unhealthy and still die. You know what I mean? Well, you will die. Everybody will die.
But you can have all the money and still be miserable as all get up.
Correct, yeah.
Because you don't find the contentment of being just you. And so some of your belief systems have become cancerous in your own life that you can't even get past just learning what contentment is with just yourself. Saying that if I don't have joy and I don't have contentment, why not? Where is that coming from? Why do I need something outside of me to make me inside of me feel better? How can I learn to feel good about what all of me, not parts of me, but all of me at the same time? Those are questions I ask me. Why am I not feeling good about all of me right now at the same time? Why do I have to need this part to feel okay, that part? No, all of me. I am the very essence of who I am, and I will always be who I am. I just have to catch up with where I'm going. And what I've already, I am who I am. I've always been who I am. What I've had to do is learn how to embrace who I am just the way I am. I've had to learn that. And that has taken different kind of chemo and radiation, you know, through different forms and people and experiences, to get me to realize I am the best version of me all the time, until I discover and gradually awaken to the next version.
Yeah.
But everything that I am is already present. I just have to embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the cancer analogy too, the reason that cancer grows as such a insidious thing is because the body can't recognize that it's disease. So it doesn't readily attack it. And so being able to recognize, hey, there's a cancer here, I need to eradicate it through chemo or what have you. Like, you don't fight against it. Do you know what I mean? Keeping that analogy. So if you have a belief in your life that you can't look at and go, okay, maybe that's not so good, or why do I believe what I believe? Even if you think it's something good, but just being able to say why and consider it. I think that, yeah, that's what you're saying, getting back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, how it's been helpful to get to what I believe, why I believe what I do, is I do what's called like a brain cloud, which is I'll start with one core thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll associate what the next thought is with it. And then I just keep following that thought until I get down to
the bear.
Here's everything.
Yeah,
here's the whole thing. And then when I look at that, then I can go, oh, okay.
What part of that is true?
Yeah. And a lot of times when I'll do that, it's because I can't think through a problem. So I have to just start with the first step. What's mm-hmm. the first thought I'm feeling? All right, now write that down. And then I'll draw a line. Okay, what is my thought connected with that? Oh, well, it's this. And then what's the next one? And so on and so forth. So that for me is a really good tool to get to the truth of something.
That's like brainstorming your own thoughts and feelings.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what it is. You brainstormed it.
Yeah.
And you put it, some people do it internally. Some people do it externally by putting it out, you know, on a paper so they can see it. Some people can see that from the inside already without doing that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm not that smart. I've got to write it down or I'll forget what the previous thought was. But yeah, you have a photographic memory. You probably do remember like all those steps and those processes. I kind of get a little lost with mine if I'm not careful.
Yeah, and so that gets us to the next thing. If we're talking about regenerated, you know, regen, the next one is A, which is connection. The letter alphabet in A is only an A. It starts with A B C D E, but A connects everything. If you look at the origin of A, the alphabet, the A alphabet, or the letter A, in the alphabet, forgive me, is a connecting word. You know, when you're saying a sentence or, you know what I mean? So it's connection. So you have to start connecting to why. Like you said about the cancer, it doesn't fight it off because the body doesn't recognize it. So if you don't recognize or connect it or become aware and be curious enough to even look at it from a different perspective, you're not connecting that is a wrong belief or that is a wrong way to think or that is a wrong way to feel or that is a wrong way to live. You don't even think. It just becomes a part of who you are. Like I look at my prison. Going to prison was just a part of who I was. When I work with people who are on drugs and homelessness, I read this thing today that a woman had a shirt on. Police officer came and sit with her. And the shirt said, I am homeless. And so therefore, I'm heading to be a nobody. And that was just what she wrote on her T-shirt. And she was sitting on the corner asking for, you know, with her sign. But her T-shirt said that. And she wrote that herself on her T-shirt. I am homeless and I'm heading towards being nobody. So that was what she believed. And so a police officer saw it. He stopped and said, ask her what her name was. Then he said, are you hungry? And she said, yes. And he said, well, I'm going to go get us a pizza and I'm going to come back. He did. And then he sat there with her and began to have a conversation just to find out who she was. What's your name? Where'd you come from? But he stooped down to the level of her hopelessness and her belief in becoming a nobody to help lift her off that ground. To let her know that I see you and that you will never not be a nobody. And her name was Michelle. And she said that moment changed her whole trajectory.
Wow.
Of how she's seen police officers, how she's seen African-American people because he was a black officer. So that whole moment changed her whole belief system.
Wow. One moment.
One moment.
One action.
One action. One connection.
Yeah.
One connection.
Yeah.
Can change that. And that's why when you say regeneration or regenerated, the rate, we deal with ourselves, we rate ourselves too much. Rated means the worth or the value. And so that's why I believe that so often, whether it's racism, sexism, any isms, all the isms, are dealt with level of value and worth and where people should be and how much you value something and what you don't value. And so in order for us to look at how do you rate yourself? Where's your own value? Where's your own worth? I'm priceless.
Amen.
I'm priceless. There's not enough money in the world. Now, you can offer me some, and I'll probably take it, but you can't buy me because I'm priceless.
Right. Yeah.
My value is not extended on money. It's extended on purpose and how I treat myself and then how I treat other people. That's my worth. I want my worth is you can't even measure it. It's immeasurable. And I think about when we look at Jesus, you know, even for me, I have been questioning the pictures that I've seen throughout my life that represented Jesus. Who said he looked like that? Who told you that? But see, we as human need to form something to hold on to feel in control. So when you go and see pictures in churches and you see him kneeling on the ground, that's the picture that some other person has created to believe the perception of what he looks like. And then so when you try to describe him to other people, you know what I mean? It's like, no, I am made in his image and after his likeness. So maybe he looks like me. Maybe he looks like you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he should look, I should look like him. And you should look like him. And what does he look like? He looks like goodness and mercy.
And grace.
And grace.
Oh, yeah.
And love and discipline and long-suffering and mindfulness and peace. He looks like that.
Yeah, that's good.
But we try to look at his value and describe him and put him in humanity and describing in a way that we can identify.
Yeah.
Instead of us coming up another level and trying to create our humanity to identify with him in a way that is deeper than us.
Yeah.
Can we come out of our natural flesh humanity and go to his divinity, his peace, his joy, his considering others, his values? What does he value? What is his worth? He loves us. Can I love you more than my having my way? That's a regenerated mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
But we don't question those things. We just, we believe them because that's what somebody told us. And it's like, no, that he's teaching me that ain't what I look like. This is what I look like, Lucretia. I look like love. I look like consideration. I look like thinking about somebody else.
I look like kindness.
I look like kindness.
Yeah.
I look like goodness. I look like peace. Not that the chaos is not present, but you're able to position it in a way to decipher it, to get to a place where you're going to do the high most good and the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look like patience, long-suffering, self-control. That's what I look like, Lucretia. That's what I look like.
And self-sacrifice.
Exactly.
Oof,
that's
yeah.
what I look like. So why you want to paint a picture of me? Paint a picture of regenerating your mind and your beliefs. Describe me. He's teaching me to describe him in those terms, not in a... That the picture he gives me is not a man with a robe on and kneeling down with his hair looking like wool. And not saying if that's what you believe. But he's starting to teach me, no, that ain't what I look like.
Or they'll say baby Jesus. Or,
exactly.
Or blonde-headed, blue-eyed Jesus.
Exactly.
And it's like, well.
You know, he said, no, I look like righteous judgment.
Yeah.
I look like discipline.
Being a servant leader.
I look like, you know, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve.
Came to serve, yeah.
I look like charity. I look like giving. I look like a seed. I look like a harvest. I look like those things, Lucretia. So if you want to describe me, live like that. Let my likeness and my image bearer be those things.
Yeah, like St. Francis said, preach often, and when necessary, use words.
Exactly.
So preach often with what you do and how you act, how you treat people. Yeah, for
what you believe.
Yeah,
because your mind is what houses the sense of your intentions and your purpose.
Yeah.
And so until you regenerate that, your intentions and your purpose, you will always be what you are until you're willing to investigate why I am that way.
Well, I think we can wrap it up, this really great conversation. I kind of hate to do that because this has been just so, so good, very life-giving. But we will see you next episode when we're going to start digging even deeper into resetting our beliefs. And if you have any questions or comments about this episode or any episode, in the description of the podcast is an email address. You can send those. I've gotten a few, and I really appreciate that. So any questions you even have for LaCreta, you can put on that. But until next time, we'll see you guys. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to LaCreta's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by LaCreta Bowman.